Hello and good morning. You're listening to Ben and Josh on the morning after.
Yes, and on the other end of the line, we have James McDowell. Good morning. We're in the fringes again.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. Good. And even better now that you are here.
Yes. We've got a few things we want to cover this morning, so we'll just jump right into it. The government has announced a $1 billion scheme to try and boost the development of housing in New Zealand. Megan Woods said about it that it's a key milestone in our plan to accelerate the development of build-ready land to enable more homes to be built at pace and scale. What are your thoughts on this new government initiative?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks very much for having me. I'd say that the government doesn't exactly have a great track record on housing. It still hasn't even reached 1,000 Kiwi-built homes, which was supposed to be built in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been in government for 4 years. This isn't a new problem.
Yeah.
And they've decided to chuck another $1 billion at it to try and speed things up.
Mm.
But I think that's on the a little bit of tinkering on the supply side, but mm-hmm. in response to what they've been doing on the demand side, those are where the more sort of perverse changes are. And they're so full of unintended consequences that it's kind of a case of who misses out now.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
like the raft of changes that they've introduced, like extending the bright line test, removing interest deductibility, those sorts of things could increase house prices, and the more worrying thing is it might increase rent. And both of those things are the last thing that we need right now.
Mm.
So we've campaigned against all of these changes around the whole housing policy that the government announced. We've already been hearing stories of how, again, these unintended consequences, how it's forcing people who aren't actually speculators,
mm-hmm.
And they're not even property investors. One case I recall, a parent bought a self-contained unit, or two self-contained units for their disabled sons,
mm-hmm.
and now they're faced with the prospect of having to sell them because they're caught up in these government tax changes. So, mm-hmm. you know, housing's a complex issue,
mm-hmm.
but we've always said come at it from the supply side.
In broader terms, the housing crisis is a term that's been thrown around for so many years, and now people are finally agreeing with some of the discourse, others not so much. So what are your thoughts on the housing crisis as a whole? Is it something that people like Josh and I should be worried about?
Mm.
Oh, hell yeah. Housing's out of control.
Mm.
And, you know, when we campaigned on RMA reform in 2017, the Labor Party wasn't interested at all, and then all of a sudden, suddenly they're talking about it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the problem comes back to supply, and you know, you may have heard Axe saying the current generation, the first time buyers, needs to build like the boomers. And you know, what would that involve? Well, that would require major reform in infrastructure, funding and planning, resource consents. I would say immigration in terms of workforce, building consents, and with the latter, it's about finding ways to encourage councils and tackling the liability issues, that's insurance issues, and sharing GST. So actually encouraging councils to free up land so we can have more urban land,
mm-hmm.
To actually build houses and making it easier to do so. And I think without proper supply-side reform, the government's policy is just an attempt to choose who gets to miss out in a supply-constrained market, and mm-hmm. I don't think the government can get that right.
Interesting.
Mm, very interesting. Speaking of, I guess, you know, taxes and stuff like that, one of the hottest debates in Parliament all the time, I'm sure. The government has introduced a brand new tax, despite saying that they wouldn't introduce any new taxes on certain vehicles.
I keep hearing that, eh?
Yeah. namely utes. An ACT has responded on a Facebook post saying Labor is breaking its no new taxes promises and lecturing Kiwis on what legitimate ute use is. Tell Labor stop. Scrap the car tax. Would you, I guess, elaborate further on what are the problems with this new tax?
Yeah, and I mean, this is one of these like big issues. So we were just at field days last week, and this came up a lot. People, especially in the rural sector, are quite sort of gobsmacked by some of the rhetoric. It just seems like they're like, does this government not understand anything about life in New Zealand? And I mean, to me, it's basically a form of state planning. Where they're intervening in a market with pricing to try to change behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that is ultimately the goal. Mm. The problem with that is it doesn't reflect the reality of the diverse needs of people in the country, and that's not even getting on to the lack of supply or the range of EVs on the market. And, you know, I can guarantee you go to, you know, several dealerships around town, around Hamilton, for instance, and talk to them about their EV range, and You know, even if you can afford one, when they're very expensive, you'd be lucky to get one. It might be a 3-4 month wait, etc. So there's all sorts of issues. They call it a fee bait. It's a car tax. And you would have heard the sort of things we've been saying about it, taxing tradies to subsidise Teslas. And as you say, you know, they've broken their promise to not introduce a new tax, and I think that will sort of keep coming. You know, a tradie or a farmer purchasing a Toyota Hilux, they're facing a tax of almost $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
You might be, and it's not, you know, it's not just utes. I mean, you might be looking for a Kia Sportage, something small, and that tax would be sort of around that $1,200 mark. So,
there you go.
You know,
compared
to driving EVs, I mean, if you're driving a petrol car, you're paying an enormous amount in tax anyway in terms of fuel tax.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and if you're driving an EV, you're not even paying road user charges. So, you know, there's already quite a few incentives there. Mm-hmm. So, I think, you know, the government needs to drop these ad hoc bans and regulations and taxes and subsidies and probably look more towards ETS as a cost-effective tool for reducing emissions.
Mm, fair enough. Last week we had Tianu Tuiona on the show, of course, who, when talking about SNAs, said, and we're paraphrasing this a bit, if you truly honour Te Tiriti, then how can you empower hapū and whānau to protect the environment? It's as relevant today as it is when it was signed. So what would you say in response?
Well, this is kind of the whole issue. And if exemptions are made, and you know that's the issue with exemptions regarding what you're talking about, it compromises the whole scheme. And it's also, if the government recognises, for instance, that you know Māori are already perfectly capable of looking after natural areas on their land and have been doing so for years or even generations, well then guess what, so can everyone else, and they should be entrusted to do so. So I think by doing carve-outs and by exemptions, they kind of already admitting defeat in this and saying, well, okay, maybe the system, you know, doesn't actually need to be applied the way it does. And I think there's also just a general fairness issue there. You know, alternatively, councils could work with landowners openly, honestly, around preservation. And, you know, we're in favour of creating a fund to provide funding for local biodiversity initiatives, such as the work undertaken by the QE2 Trust. So, you know, there are other ways to do this. And I think, you know, honour the treaty, but also, you know, accept that perhaps some fairness as well, and perhaps the system is wrong.
Fair enough. Well, is there anything that you would like to ask Tianu, and we can get it to him next week?
Yeah, well, I think a whole lot of things, but since we've been, one of the things we've been speaking about is the car tax, I would just ask him, is he seriously comfortable with a working class family paying a tax of thousands of dollars on a new car that they've saved up for, just so that a wealthy person can get a free extra on their Tesla?
We will be asking him that next week. Thank you so much for coming on to the show, Jason Dowell. Yes, gosh. And the fringes as per usual. Gosh, great times.
Thank you, guys.
No worries. Thank you.
98.5. 98.